microphones and make a podcast. Two microphones and you make a podcast.
Hi, this is Joyce.
And this is Mary Beth.
Welcome to the Modern Yoga Podcast. Today's special guest is Michaela Carnevale. Did I say that right?
You did, yes.
Yes. Michaela Carnevale. I said it sounds like a fake name. It sounds like a YouTube celebrity.
Well, maybe after this.
Right. Michaela is a familiar face as of lately in the studio. You found us, I think, on Memorial Day weekend, and she introduced herself, said she just moved to the area and had an awesome practice. And then a couple days later, she came to my class first, maybe, or was second?
I did, yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, your class on Saturday, I think.
Yeah. And then a couple of days later, I think Monday, you went to James's class and he came home and was like, "Hey, you know that new girl from Rhode Island? She trained through Live, Love, Teach, just like we did." And I was like, "Oh, I need to talk to her." and now she's teaching for us. And there's a lot in between there. She's in town just for a while. So tell us your story, like how you got to Cleveland and why you're not, how can we keep you?
She's not here for a long time. She's here for a good time.
Yes. Yes. I am here for a good time. So my husband and I decided probably, I would say 2021, that we wanted to move. We didn't want to make like a big move to decide what our next home was, but we weren't necessarily like happy in the routine that we were in. And we knew that his job could afford us that flexibility. So he's a union iron worker, and he linked up with a company in Michigan a few years back, and they have work all over. So Yeah, whatever comes up for them, they make us the offer and he decides whether he wants to go or not. And we decided to do this as a couple. So we have been planning for, I guess, 2021, it's 2023, so a couple of years. But prior to landing here, we were on a few month road trip with our dogs. So we decided to just take advantage of the fact that we were young and we could do whatever the heck we wanted. And we threw our dogs in the car and drove across country and skied all over. And for other skiers, it was an absolute epic year. So we planned it just right. Yeah. So we've had the time of our lives from January to now. This has just been amazing.
I was going to say, we never covered where you started from.
Oh, started from Rhode Island. Yes. Sorry. So I'm from Rhode Island originally.
I don't think I've ever known anybody from Rhode Island before.
Yeah.
So it's exotic.
Yes. Yes. very small state. But yeah, I'm from Rhode Island originally. So it's a small state. I've lived there basically my whole life. And that was enough for us to be like, why are we here? Let's go see what's out there. And that's what we're doing. So he is at this job until probably mid-fall. And I'm just kind of along for the ride right now. I'm enjoying my journey, getting to know myself. I'm spending a lot of time alone. And I'm loving it.
Excellent.
Are you missing home at all?
I'm not.
Oh, wow.
I'm not. Cool. Yeah. Yeah. I'm not. Where we landed is, we're in Hinckley. It's amazing. It's a really nice place. And we didn't plan it. We didn't know exactly where we were going. We actually made the move to Cleveland without having a place to stay. We had the confidence to do that because we were just on the road for so long. And we knew that Airbnb or like hotels, they were an option. Like we had somewhere to stay each night. Like we knew that, and we were set up to car camp. So if we had a car camp, we would. Yeah. So we came here and we looked at a few different properties. More were downtown. And then I found this through Furnish Finder, and it's like, it's a sacred place. I mean, we have a fenced in yard for our dogs. No one bothers us. It's great.
I lived in Hinckley for a minute.
Did you?
For 4 years.
Longer than a minute.
It's a beautiful place, and it's kind of, you know, it's close to Cleveland, but it's close to country. And
This is more
Cleveland country.
It's great. Super accessible to get places.
Almost equidistant. I'm guessing. I'm not exactly sure where you're at in Hinckley, but from both of our studios.
Yes.
James and I
had said that to you.
Yeah.
I looked up on like Google Maps or something, and it was like 17 miles to one place, 16 to the other before I was like deciding what class to take.
We're like trying to slowly get our house ready to sell, and we keep looking at houses, and then there one came up in Hinckley the other day, and I mapped it to each studio. I'm like, oh, same thing, like 16 to one, 17 to the other. I'm like, this would be amazing. And it's a pretty drive, you know. It's different than our drives now. So anything's going to be interesting when we first start it. After a while, it'll be like, oh, this drive, you know. But it's all good. So when you left Rhode Island to go on this 3-month road trip, where did you go first?
We went to Colorado first.
Holy crap!
Yeah.
You didn't just like get in the car and decide to stop as you went. No. It was like, let's go as far away as we can.
My husband loves to drive. Like he would drive across country tomorrow if the opportunity presented itself. He loves the rush, like the sweaty palms holding onto the steering wheel. Like he just loves it. We basically went straight from Rhode Island to Colorado.
How fun.
It was so fun.
What are you traveling in?
I have like a Volvo station wagon.
Okay.
Yeah. It's a great, great travel car.
Now
it's
with awesome. A Volvo station wagon, I would think that you would iron your clothes before you hung them up. This is referring to a conversation we had just before we started to record.
I have an ironing
old
problem.
School, but you need a good safe car when you're going to drive across the whole country.
What part of
I'm not sponsored, but Volvo is so comfortable. Their seats are so comfortable.
You might be sponsored after this because it's maybe an international podcast. I don't think she understands how world famous
the wide reach that we have. Also, I can't hear Volvo without thinking of vulva. Sorry.
I was waiting for it.
Well, I already didn't break into I've had the time of my life when she said I've had the time of my life. So I thought I have shown remarkable restraint so far.
What part of Colorado did you end up in?
We were in Steamboat, Colorado. It was right outside of Steamboat. And now I'm trying to remember. Oak Creek, I think, was the name of it. So it was the town over, less built up. And we had like a little Airbnb there. There was a really great couple that they owned an Airbnb, a taqueria, and a tattoo shop. And they were awesome.
Wow. Oh my gosh. Those sound like awesome so people cool. right there.
Did they have a yoga studio too?
Yeah.
No, but they should.
Was that your first trip to Colorado?
That was my first trip to Colorado. Yep. It wasn't my first time out west, but it was my first time in Colorado.
I went to Colorado for the first time last spring, and all podcasts lead to Trevor Hall.
We went to Red Rocks. So two things about that. Number one, Joyce, I didn't know that was your first trip to Colorado.
Yeah. I'd never been to Colorado
before. Oh my gosh. Just a gorgeous place.
I would go back in a heartbeat. Mm-hmm. It is amazing. Yeah.
The other thing is about Trevor, since he freaking came up in my email, I subscribe to some list called Bands in Town, and it always tells you who's in town, and it keeps bombarding me everywhere he is as if I care.
Because it's listening.
And then I walked into the Brecksville studio, whatever day I taught yesterday, but I think it was maybe last Sunday or Monday, and Trevor Hall radio was on, and I was there alone. I was like, no, just stop. I've had it with him.
You don't really listen to him.
He was there. I wasn't listening to him on purpose. It was on. And I was like,
but I'm saying, how could you be over it if you don't listen?
I'm saying he's infiltrating my life. He's popping into my emails.
That's what's bothering you?
Into the airwaves.
He's stalking you. All right.
Like, so you think you're stalking Trevor? He's stalking me while you're stalking him. And honestly, I don't even mind him. He's actually in my playlist, but I don't know. I don't know what it is. Sorry.
You're like, enough. So where did you go from Colorado?
We went from Colorado to Montana.
Oh.
And the Yeah. So we went to Prey, Montana, and it was negative 30 when we were there. So it's like if I'm not mistaken, the west side of Yellowstone. It was absolutely beautiful. A friend of my brother's owned a house there, and they let us stay for, I think we were there for 7 days at that spot. And then we did go over to Big Sky and ended up skiing once it got warm enough. And we stayed in this, it was like a ranch set up with a bunch of cabins, and that was really fun. Big Sky is amazing.
My husband has a cousin who has a place in Big Sky. We've been invited, but have not gone yet. Do you write at all?
No, and I should.
Because like, as you go through these one place at a time, I mean, you don't want to let those slip away from your memories. You probably have a lot of pictures, right?
I do. I have a lot of pictures, and I got like a sticker or a magnet for everywhere we went.
Again, that's very old school.
Yeah.
Like stopping at a Stuckey's for peanut brittle.
So great.
So you have two dogs, right? And I think they're a little bit older.
Yep. So I have a 13-year-old pit and a 9-year-old Rottweiler.
How did they handle the negative 30?
They stayed inside with us for the most part, and we would just go outside for them to go to the bathroom. It wasn't. They couldn't spend too much time outside.
Yeah.
So when you travel places, how does it go having a pit and a Rottie with you? Do people, you know, give you the eye?
Yeah, they do. So it's a pit mix and a lab mix.
That's what we call
signing
them.
Up for things.
Full of mixes. Pit mix,
yeah, a little, we have some mixes.
It's a boxer.
Yeah. So yeah. People, they always look at you funny. And the Rottweiler, he senses people. Like, he knows when there's a little bit of fear, and he punks them. So he loves to like stick his head out the window and bark at you. So that was his big thing on this trip. We're like, dude, really? You just have to do it, don't you? But everywhere, it was kind of difficult, like finding some accommodations with dogs. It definitely cost you more, especially going through Airbnb. But we couldn't leave them at home, and they're part of our family, so they came.
Yeah,
with
that
us.
Was that's half the adventure.
Yeah,
When I was a kid, I had speaking of, you know, really scary breeds, I had a Schnauzer, which is a Schnauzer and Scotty mix. But we had a trailer camper and then a Winnebago, and that's part of what we loved about family vacations was you bring the dog, and it's less stressful and less expensive than boarding the dog. And now that you're an adult, like, how stressful is it when you have to board your dog or have your dog wonder where you are?
Unfortunately, they aren't necessarily boardable dogs anyway.
Right.
And that's been a little bit of an issue being here, like back home, someone like, I don't know, my brother-in-law, someone would take them for the night if we were going to do something like that, but we don't really have anyone here.
You know, so we do know a handful of like friends who do dog.
You do know you have lots of people.
Yeah. That are friends of the studio. I can think of like four right off the top of my head. So,
okay, perfect. Glad I mentioned that. Then.
Yeah.
But we always miss them if they're not with us.
Right. I know. it feels weird when I totally understand that.
Yeah.
What was the next step after Montana or next?
Montana to Idaho. We went to Sand Point, Idaho. Idaho.
Thank you.
Idaho is beautiful, isn't it?
Oh my gosh. Like, people, put this on your list. Don't sleep on Sand Point, Idaho. It was absolutely beautiful. It's like a lakefront town. And then in the higher altitudes, there's this mountain called Schweitzer Mountain. And when we were there, there was an issue with coyotes. A coyote had attacked a skier.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, crazy, crazy. So there was like this whole thing, but that's part of skiing and being outside, you know, there's wildlife and there's like, there's code to follow. So I guess that it did come out that people had been feeding them. So they were looking for food and all that. The girl was okay. But yeah, that was what was going on when we were there. Absolutely beautiful.
I just Googled Sandpoint, Idaho. Holy moly.
Yeah. It's unreal.
I've been to Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, but again, a zillion years ago.
Yeah. So it's near it. Yeah. Definitely near it.
Thankfully, when we were young, my dad forced us to drive all the way out west and do stuff he wanted to do. We were three teenage girls who would have rather gone to the beach exclusively. And at some point he was like, no, we're taking a month and doing this drive out west.
That's amazing.
Now that I'm old, I'm so grateful. I wouldn't have been to some of these places.
Yeah, for sure. James, it's a great way to travel. Mm-hmm.
James's grandma lived in Payette, Idaho. So I've been there a couple of times. It's near Boise, probably an hour or two away from Boise. And I just mapped Sandpoint to Payette thinking, oh, well, maybe it's 7.5 hours away.
Yeah, it's not close at all. When we were driving from Montana, I think we were going from Montana to Idaho. Obviously there was really bad weather. It was a crazy winter. There was a lot of storms. But we had to turn around and we had to do like a 5-hour detour, which was pretty brutal. Backtrack 5 hours.
Yeah.
There was always those unpredicted things that came up on the road. I just heard a dog scratching at a door. I think she's locked in though. One second.
Okay, sure. Hey, Joyce, while she's gone, I think it's funny that the state of Idaho has come up twice in the last couple of episodes because I think, remember, didn't it come up that I just found out that Ore-Ida?
I schooled you on that, but I don't remember. I don't
remember. Oregon and Idaho. Maybe it wasn't on the podcast. Maybe it was just you and me and Susie chatting after class on that Saturday.
Yeah, I don't remember what it was, but I guess.
But anyway, yeah, Ore-Ida all these years. Didn't know. Oregon and Idaho.
Did you know that, Michaela?
I didn't know.
I didn't know that either until so Payette is right on the border. And so a lot of like the stores and stuff were in Oregon and then you know, it's no big deal kind of thing. Like just one side of the highway versus the other. And we were just driving and I saw Ore-Ida and I was like, oh, it's Oregon and Idaho.
It doesn't sound like that though. Ore-Ida. Is that what
I
you
know.
Said?
Or for Oregon and Ida. Yeah.
Oh, Ore-Ida. Got it.
Like French fries.
Yes. Yeah.
Frozen bagged. Yeah. Look at her face.
See? Uh-huh. Now the light bulb goes off.
It was over my head for a moment. I was like, all right, we'll just let them talk about that.
That's how I felt in the car. I was like, wait a minute. Wow.
Doesn't take much for us.
Where did you
in Idaho?
What was that?
I'm sorry. I was going to say in Idaho, I was introduced to, I don't know how I lived my entire life without this, but like the white sweet potatoes.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I don't know.
They're so good. Highly recommend them. They're delicious.
I have to Google that too. White.
Yep.
Sweet potato. Oh, I have had those. Maybe.
They're really good.
Huh. Sometimes they come here to Heinen's.
Yes. Yep. Actually, Heinen's has them right now.
Michaela, since sweet potatoes came up, let me ask you this. I served Joyce a sweet potato once. And she was the first person I ever saw. And I do this with, you know, Idaho baked brown potatoes, but she was the first person I saw with a sweet potato eat the skin and everything, just knife and fork that thing till the plate was empty.
It was so
Are
good.
Are you familiar with this behavior?
No, right? I don't know if I've ever seen someone do that.
Okay. All right.
I can do it again if you want to see.
Just checking. Yeah. Did it taste good, Joyce? I mean,
yes. James thinks that I like odd textures. And you know, I'm not a food person. Like it's.
Right. It's like you're chewing gravel or something.
I don't know about that.
Well, as far as texture, because you do chew ice. So I think you're like a little little chihuahua that needs something to gnaw on.
Oh.
And I say that with love. I don't mean that disparagingly at all.
I'm an angry
I'm
little
also
dog.
Not trying to offend chihuahuas.
All right. Where'd you go after Idaho? Sandpoint.
We went to Washington. And now it's slipping my mind the name of where we stayed.
Michaela, I can't believe you didn't at least keep a diary of where you were.
If
you didn't use any extra words.
Sure, she's got a lot of pictures.
I do. If I was to go back, it would be there. Yeah, I'm stumped. I can't remember where we stayed. We went through Spokane, so we were somewhere in that area.
The map still, so there's the Caldwell National Forest.
I got it. Snoqualmie, Washington is where we were. Ooh. The Snoqualmie Pass. Yeah. And we skied Alpental, which was the name of the mountain, which was the scariest day of my life. That was
insane.
Oh
my gosh, really? We'll talk
about
that.
It was really scary. Yeah. So it's kind of like an old school mountain, which a lot of the ski places are in Washington. You know, there's like these small chairlifts, like a two-person chairlift, no bar, super exposed. So that was there, and it's scary. Like you get up there,
yeah,
and
it just gave me like a little vertigo thinking of it.
It was really low visibility, just intense terrain, but it was really fun.
All of that actually is really dangerous. If there's a problem terrain and low visibility, I mean, you know, you joke around about skiers hitting trees and stuff, but it's no joke.
It's so real. And you shouldn't go out there without being prepared. Like you need a beacon, you need a shovel, you need a probe, you need a buddy for sure.
And you're a pretty expert skier or a very experienced skier going into this.
I pretend to be. My husband is a very, he's a really good snowboarder. So for our entire relationship, I kind of just chased him down the mountain and it made me have to be good.
So you prefer skiing to snowboarding?
I ski and he snowboards. Yes. I've skied. My parents put me on skis at a really young age, which I'm grateful for. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I ski and he snowboards.
I mean, I guess even more than experience, which you get as you get, is the preparedness part. Like if you run into trouble and you don't have what you need with you, you're effed.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's some stuff we won't do. I'm like, I need to take a course before I get out there and do that.
Mm-hmm. I'm looking up everything you're talking about, and like the waterfall keeps coming up.
Oh yeah,
it's gorgeous.
It was a beautiful place. For those that haven't been to the Pacific Northwest, it's just it's a lot. Everything's alive there, like the moss, and you just look at things and you're like, there's energy there. That's an ecosystem. Like it's captivating.
Wow.
Gonna have to head out that way.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
And what was next?
Oregon. Oregon was awesome.
Yeah.
Oregon was one of the places that we were like, oh, we could live here. We stayed in Bend for a while, and we skied Mount Bachelor, which was really cool. And then we went to Wine Country, and we went to the Willamette Valley. I always thought it was Willamette, but I guess it's Willamette.
Right. Willamette Valley.
Yep. So we did that, and we had a great time there. And then we went to the coast. We drove to Tillamook, and I think it's Pacific City.
Tillamook cheddar.
So good. And we took the dogs to the beach, so they got to see the coast, the Pacific coast. And Onyx, our Rottweiler, he loves the water, so he got to run in. Which was awesome. We made it coast to coast.
My great friend was just sent for work last week to the Oregon coast, and she was sending me pictures of she was there by herself, so she'd have her glass of wine and the beautiful view and the sunset. When you're going on a trip of this scale and having such adventure, you've got the dogs, you're kind of staying somewhere, who knows where, or car camping. What makes you say about a place, oh, we could see ourselves living here? Because that's the first place you said that about now. Like, what made you think, the other places probably felt like visits. What made this be like, huh, we could stay here?
That's a really good question. I think the first thing was I was just so, it was the first time I experienced the So the high desert. So that was really cool. There's so many different climates that are in Oregon. So, you know, you have like the rainforest, you have the coast, you have the high desert and Bend. So we would spend a day skiing where it was dumping snow. And then once we went to lower altitudes, you were in the high desert. And that was just so cool to me. Like after skiing, we were basically sunbathing and like just hanging out, which
you don't get
that everywhere. So that was really cool. That was the first thing that kind of was like, whoa, this is cool. I could
sometimes
do this.
You get that in Cleveland in a day.
That's true.
Well, as a New Englander, they say that if you don't like the weather, just like wait an hour and it's gonna change. Yes. So there's that, but not to the level of high desert and snow.
Consistent.
You know,
consistent there.
Like, whoa, this is crazy. Yeah. So that was the first thing. And then just the people, the food was really great. But it's really expensive to live out there now. Real estate. It's unreal. Yeah. Very, very bougie. And the locals, they talk about it. They're resistant to it because it's pushing a lot of people out, but they also have, their camping laws are really loose. I think that you can stay in one spot for, up to 14 days. Like you could just be on the side of the road for up to 14 days. So they have a lot of that. They have a big transient like van population and stuff.
Yeah.
Which is cool.
You know,
and problematic, but
yeah, I was going to say problematic as well. Two different things occurred to me and I hope one of them pops back in. But first there was a guy I did yoga with at my friend Jane's named Ed, and he's a couple years older than me, which would put him in his late 50s now. And about 5 years back, he just decided to go. He tricked out his van and he lives in it now, and he climbs ice and mountains and stuff. And to your point about that transient population, he reports back to us that he can't believe how many people are doing the same thing as him who are way younger. Like he had a whole career and then he became an RN so that he knew he could find a job here and there when he needed some money. And he just couldn't believe how many people are living their lives that way. So that's very, very cool. But to those natives, I'm sure they're like, wait a minute. And also then people with enough money can always go wherever they want. So they're going to go to these places that they hear are so beautiful and the weather and the skiing and maybe mess up the local feel. Joyce and I have talked with, you've probably not met Patty, who taught at our studio, but she and her husband are retired now and they mostly travel, Costa Rica, Thailand, Bali, Mexico. And they've only landed back home here in Cleveland for short stints at a time. She has plenty of relatives to stay with. And while I haven't chatted with Patty about it lately, now that they've been doing it a few years, my wonder was always like, when and where and how do you feel like it's home and I can relax here versus I'm on this adventure still? Have you found that anywhere?
You know, our adventure is just beginning. So, so that's just where I'm at. And, I'm kind of taking it day by day because we're still on our adventure, you know, like this still isn't home.
And you're not homesick. So that's good.
No, I'm not homesick. Yeah. But everyone's like, oh, when are you coming back? And it's like, we don't know if we're coming back. We're very open-minded to everything. Like as you just said, like Oregon was the first place I was like, oh, I could live here. That could happen somewhere else. I mean, there's part of me, I was like, I could live here. I could live exactly where we are. So I guess it's just finding little pieces of it wherever you go. I don't know. I'm really lucky to be doing it with my dogs and my husband. Like that's amazing. You really find out if you love someone this way.
Yeah,
like
imagine both yourself. Still alive.
Yeah. If you were like, not loving this.
It's so funny. Before we left, and the whole joke along the way was we can't go to Yellowstone because that's like where spouses go missing. So we didn't go into Yellowstone.
Is it really?
Yeah. That's where everyone goes bye bye. Yeah. So we never went into Yellowstone.
Are your families
so that was
back
like a running, that was a running
supportive of this situation?
Yes, definitely, completely. There are, our parents actually only live like 3 miles from each other. Mm-hmm. So that's
they have
convenient.
Each other.
Yeah, yeah. And if like we, and going home, it's like, it's easy because we get to see them both. But we,
right,
we haven't
you don't
done
have
that
to be
yet.
Like, whose parents do we go to for this?
Yeah.
Holiday?
Yeah. Yeah. Everyone's super supportive. If anything, like they're like, I wish we did that or something. And not, to anyone that says that, I'm like, do it. You can, you just yeah. gotta do a little, take a little bit of planning. It can be scary, but just take it like small doses at a time. It does. Mm-hmm. You don't have to, you don't have to have a big plan. Just,
I feel like the world is a little more conducive to that now because of COVID. Even if you do have somewhat of a normal job, there's a lot more options to work remotely or to ask about working remotely. Well, it is a good thing to trek out on a weird adventure.
And there's FaceTime and Zoom and everything. So it's not like you don't see your family and friends for
right.
months at
it's
a time.
Not like Laura Ingalls' dad left for Mankato and we didn't see him for 3 weeks or know if he was safe.
Yeah. You're not writing letters home, you know?
Yeah.
So it just, even though you don't see people in person, you still feel connected.
Yeah. And a lot of things like people, they want to see your adventure, you know, like yeah. they want to live like vicariously yes. through you. Like, I mean, we do, we have epic pictures that like, I'll yeah. scroll through my phone sometimes. I'm like, wow, I forget that that's like where we were. That's what we were doing. So it's really cool. Send someone a picture.
Yeah. I love that. I mean, and if people aren't excited for it, then they're just envious idiots because I mean, how could you not be happy for somebody to follow whatever bliss it is?
Yeah.
Mary Beth, I'm going to digress for a moment. You didn't mention that Dennis Kubik, who's Patty's husband, plays pickleball.
Oh, I forgot. I had totally forgotten
that's
about
why
that.
They're in town for a while.
I think middle age and beyond all play pickleball except for me right now.
Mary Beth's athletic career is all wrapped up, summed up in her high school cheerleading. She was the tallest.
I peaked.
She said she was tall, always tall, taller than her kindergarten teacher.
So, yeah, I was a good base.
And
how
and
tall are you
loud.
Now? How tall are you?
I'm just 5'8", if that. Okay. I'm not that tall, but when you're 5'8", at 5 years old.
Yeah.
Not a big exaggeration, maybe a slight one, but I was a beast.
I think your hair takes you up to about 5'11".
It does now. It's quite a doorknob there.
So what was after, where'd you go after the state of Washington?
Oregon. So we just went up, right?
Oh.
We just talked about Oregon. So Oregon. Washington, Oregon. And then this was the point where we were trying to decide if we were going to go to California or start to make our way back east. And we were going by the weather and the snow. So long story short, we went to Utah and we spent a few weeks out in Utah.
Going back to Utah. Hold on a second. Utah is the place that I want to be. So Joyce, you may not be quite old enough. And certainly Michaela's not, unless Utah plays this song, but it was the Osmonds.
Oh, Donnie and Marie?
No, the brothers.
Oh.
Going back to Utah. It's a great song. My sisters and Sandy next door used to put on shows to the Osmond songs. They did not invite me to participate and they charged me to watch. And that's how I know. That's
how. She's the youngest.
Anyway, back to you, Michaela.
Yeah. So we went to Salt Lake City, Utah, and we spent a few weeks there. So there's the Big Cottonwood Canyon and the Little Cottonwood Canyon. And there's a few different ski places there. So we checked that out and they had record snow this year too. And again, the champagne powder is real. So Utah is known for that. And it is real and amazing.
Wow.
It's great.
Googling that as we speak. Champagne,
Joyce,
champagne
powder. Are you a skier, Joyce?
No.
No, nor am I. So this is a good education for us.
Everyone. Well, so Michaela might not know this, but I was a competitive figure skater for almost 30 years and everybody would just come up to me and be like, you know, skaters usually make good skiers because it's a similar kind of like
balancing act.
Yeah. But I've never had the opportunity to ski, and it seems like it's a very involved activity, like with equipment and all of that, you know? And so I'm like, yeah, not that I wouldn't ski. I don't know that, that I have the time to invest in skiing.
Right.
I cannot be cold on purpose. There's not enough minutes of my life left for me to be cold on purpose, but I know people love it. I mean, people do cold baths now.
Oh, they're amazing. We did,
That's what people say.
Yeah. Yeah. They're amazing. One of the hot springs that we went to in Steamboat, Strawberry Hot Springs, they had like a cold plunge as one of the pools. I never felt so good. It was really, really amazing.
How cold was it?
It wasn't frozen. So I guess it was like, I don't know, 32 degrees. It was cold. It was outside. So I mean, it could have been frozen, but it wasn't.
Yeah.
Well, our son Drew once did jump right out of the hot tub into a big bank of snow. So.
Oh, everyone does that. That's like the thing to do. Yeah.
I stayed in the hot tub with my wine and was like, yeah, no, sir.
The breathing practice the breath practice that you drop into. Wow. It's unreal. Actually, that was like one of the best compliments I ever received. I was, in the cold bath, and someone was like, you look so relaxed. And I was just like, oh my gosh, I'm actually freaking out, but like, I'm just diving into my breath right now. And thank you. I'm glad that that's how it's being perceived. He was like, everyone's freaking out in here. You're just hanging out. I'm like, yeah, one breath at a time.
Whoever we talk to on this podcast, whether they're talking about grief or sports, or doesn't this always come up at some point?
Yeah.
They end up talking about, without being prompted, something that turns back to the breath and how it served them at some point in their lives. So here we are.
Yeah. And I would say if anyone's trying to get into a cold plunge practice and they're scared, I mean, five breaths. Don't even do it time. Do it for five breaths and see if that's possible.
Oh, that's an interesting, yeah, that's really smart. So James does, he'll do a cold shower at the end of a shower. And, but he had to start, you know, you don't start with 4 minutes. Right. And then you build up. And I try it and I'm trying to build up, but I've been thinking about in terms of time, but I think in terms of breath would probably be more effective.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a really good idea. Most things are probably more effective if you think about them in terms of breathing instead of all the stressors.
I'm more interested in staying comfortable at the end of my shower.
Cold plunges came up in teacher training the other day. And although I'm obviously trying every now and then, I'm like, I like to take baths that are so hot, I'm sweating when I come out.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's, and so you do that and then you do the cold plunge. So it's the extreme that really makes that
ruins
on your body.
Yeah. That's what it says to me. I'm going to ruin.
And also, Mary Beth, if you were in Strawberry Park Hot Springs and it's this beautiful, you know, scenic place, it's different than doing it in your bathtub.
Yes,
absolutely. And I would do it there. I would jump from a hot tub into a snowbank or whatever, a cold plunge, but to do it on the daily, I have to look at myself in the mirror here and be like, yeah, no.
There are a lot of great benefits to cold plunges, though. Lots of them.
I think that a cold plunge is probably easier than a cold shower, to be honest. Just probably, the ability to submerge yourself quickly
and then get out.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, this next spring, Mary Beth, you and I, for the podcast, should go do one of those cold plunges.
Jump in a lake or something. I don't know if we need to explore the fact that your husband wants to take a cold shower before he gets in bed with you. Are you so arousing that he has to shut it down? Is that what's happening here? Yeah. Also, I took James's yin sauna last night, and he likes to talk about the Zen connection to yin. So he uses Zen and yin and what's the meditation he likes to talk about? Zen, Zen, Zen-za. 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 Zazen in our hero's pose. And all I was thinking was, and again, this is James's class, so I try hard to refrain, and I did, but I wanted to say something about Zing Zang Bloody Mary mix. And Stacey Westner was behind me, so it was right there. And I'm like, no, I'm not going to ruin James's class with my bullshit tonight. Okay, back to Michaela.
I want to experience more of your bullshit.
It's plentiful.
Yeah, I love it.
From Utah, what was next?
Utah, we started to head back home. Yeah, we had to make the trek back home. We were still had stuff in our house that we own, and we needed to move it out because we had renters coming in. So we had to get back home.
So was it a little sad trekking back home? Was it a chore?
Yeah, bittersweet, I guess would be the best way to put it. As I said, we knew that we were coming to Cleveland, so the adventure was still going. We just needed to make that pit stop back in Rhode Island.
That's true. It was a pit stop. It wasn't like it's over, we're going home.
Yeah, but it was definitely time to stay somewhere longer than like a few weeks. Like I was done packing and unpacking at that point. Yeah. We were ready for like a little bit of just time off from travel.
Yeah, a little nesting somewhere where you don't have to.
Yeah.
It's sort of well, the word is, it's not like fight or flight or anything, but you're really at a higher sense of being attuned when you're not, I mean, your stuff is packed. Where's the food?
Mm-hmm.
Everything is pretty compact and in this car or in this one night somewhere. So that's got to be stressful after a while. You just want to let down and relax.
So what do you think of Cleveland?
You know, I didn't really have any expectations of it, but I'm enjoying it for sure. One of the things that I realized is it's a really clean city and accessible city from my experience. I don't like driving at all, and I don't mind driving in the city here, which is a good thing for me.
Yeah, our traffic is not like most big cities, that's for sure. Yeah. But it's really interesting to hear you say that it's clean and accessible, because living here, we don't know what people, I was just going to ask if people rolled their eyes when you told them you were heading to Cleveland, because I feel like we're kind of a joke around the country.
Yeah, we got a lot of that. honestly, but yeah, to be honest, but it's been great. There's a lot of culture here. There's a lot of pride here for sure. Everyone wears like their Guardian t-shirts or their Browns jerseys and stuff. And I think that's so cool. I guess we have that back home, but in Rhode Island, it's more New England. So you have like the Patriots, the Red Sox, the Yankees, but the pride here is a little bit different.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like everyone's on the same page where there's battles back home. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. Yeah. People have choices back home. Here it's the Cleveland
ride or die, baby. Ride or die.
And there's a lot of die. A lot of die, and we still ride.
Yeah.
Are you talking about with sports teams?
Yeah. And you're right. We do have a lot of, we have arts, we have ballet, we have orchestra, we have green spaces. We do.
The metro park system's amazing.
Isn't it? We're so fortunate. Yeah. And you can't beat the cost of living here.
Yeah. Renting is honestly, it's a little bit higher than we thought it was going to be based on like stuff in the area. But again, it is what it is.
And Hinckley actually is a little expensive because it's a nice spot.
It is a nice spot.
What about, speaking of that, like groceries and stuff, now that you've been literally across the country? Big disparity?
In prices?
Mm-hmm.
No, I didn't notice a big disparity, but again, we were traveling to places that were in season for the most part. So, And they had tourists and a transient population. So it's usually kind of higher there anyway.
Yeah.
But one of the things that I really wanted to prioritize was everywhere we went, I wanted to be part of that community on some level. So I usually like tried to find like a farmer's market or something like that where I could buy something local just to be supportive of them and not be like another person that's just coming through and not doing anything.
Right.
So I wanted to add to anywhere we went, I wanted to add to it. I wanted to be part of it.
That is excellent.
Where do you find that here?
I've gone to the Medina's Farmers Market, which was really great. There's Luther Farm, if I'm not mistaken. I think it's over in Richfield that they're open on Saturdays. And I've got
That's Joyce. I stopped there on the way to the Brecksville studio, like right before it was open. It's kind of around there somewhere. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Also, Michaela, I have to say it. Here we say Medina.
James and I just had this conversation.
Funky called Medina, but here it's Medina.
Medina. Thank you. Thank you.
Just here. Everywhere else in the country.
Everywhere else says
Medina.
Medina. But here we say Medina.
Medina.
It's sort of like in the Outer Banks, you know, there's Corolla, but it's actually Kerala. They say Kerala.
You say potato, I say potato.
I'll eat the skin on your white sweet potato.
What do you find weird about Cleveland, if anything?
That's a good question. I don't know what I find weird about Cleveland.
Nothing yet. Well, you're here for a while.
I think she wants to commit to on this.
Yeah.
Eternal recorded podcast.
International podcast.
Yeah, I don't want anyone coming after me. I don't know what I find weird.
So let's switch over to yoga. How long have you been start practicing yoga?
I started practicing yoga really young in high school, actually. I was an athlete, and one of my teammates, their mom was a local yoga teacher, and she worked with our soccer team. So that was my first introduction to it, and I really enjoyed it and liked it. So from there, I started to take classes, and I think they were Power in Nature at that point, with Renee, actually. So I started taking classes with Renee, and it just kind of developed into a teacher training when I was 21. So I had been practicing from high school to 21. I did a teacher training, and then I've been teaching on and off since, and I'm 29.
So Michaela trained through Live, Love, Teach, which is where James and I trained. And it's a school that primarily teaches 200 and 500 hour training in what's called immersions. So you do an 8-day training. And so to get your 200 hour certificate, you do 2 8-day immersive jaunts. And then to get the additional 300, they're just done in, what do you get? About 100 every, are you 500?
I'm not 500, no, 200.
I think you get 100 hours, or maybe it's 150 or something for every 8-day, because there's other work that you do as well around
it. I think it's 100.
And at the time that James and I did our training, Live, Love, Teach was owned by a woman named Stacy Dawkins, and she was based out of the Dallas area, and then Phil Urso, and he's in Rhode Island. And since then, Stacy started her own school, and Phil owns Live, Love, Teach. And Renee is, does she own it, or is she part of it?
Yeah. So they own, I don't know if they own Live, Love, Teach together, but I know they own the studio together.
So they have
Rhode Island. It's been a few years since I've been in the community, so maybe things have changed or shifted. But
Rhode Island Power Yoga is their studio, but their immersive trainings were done back then at the Eden Manor, which was an old mansion, like an old Airbnb mansion that a family owned. And so you would stay there. I think there were probably about, I want to say 20 to 25 people in the training that I was in there. But there was a 500 hour going on as well as a 200. So I did, to make this even more complicated, Stacy had offered a 16-day training, because I think they did once a year. Once a year, they would offer the whole thing all at once. And so James and I went out to Dallas, and I stayed for the first 8 days, and he stayed for 16. So James did his 200-hour in one 16-day swoop. And then a couple months later, I went and finished my 200-hour in Rhode Island at the Eden Manor. I loved that mansion. I thought it was like, I don't know, it had so much character. It was just seemed so like lovingly lived in, you know, like it, anybody going in there might be like, oh, it needs work or whatever. I just loved all the cracks and the creeks and the, like, it was really a great experience. But I think that Michaela and I probably missed each other by like 6 months. We were real close to being in the same training. Yeah. So that's
and the reason you said when James came home and said that this girl is here and she did live, love, teach, the reason that rings the bell in you is because we all know there are so many yoga teacher trainer programs available, and that gives you the idea that there was a common breath practice, to get back to our breath thing.
Yeah.
And a teaching to teach yoga education, which isn't the case at all teacher training either. A lot of teacher training is to be immersed in some other yoga things, but not necessarily plan to be a teacher. So right off the bat, it's like finding someone from your old neighborhood or something. Like, mm-hmm. you have the same common thread.
Yeah.
And so I asked her, do you want to teach at all while you're here? And she was like, wasn't planning on it, but sure. And Michaela came to a teacher training, a couple of modules last week, and gave some feedback. Like, it was so good having you there. You are welcome back anytime.
Thank you.
They have been talking about you. Like, one of the trainees is now using Catch a Breath because she used it as a breath call. Like, he was just like, oh, that's amazing. But yeah, when she started teaching, I was like, oh yeah. it really brought me back to like the core of our training that I really fell in love with. And it's honestly, it's changed my teaching a little bit lately. And like, I think I was telling you, Michaela, where I, every once in a while, I'll listen to a class of Phil's or Stacy or whatever. And it just reminds me of how not a whole lot is needed, mm-hmm. and how powerful that is. And I don't know. It's just, it's really, it's something I believe in, and it's gotten us here. Obviously it's evolved in the way that modern yoga has evolved, but still that training is at the core of what we teach. So it was just, it's really nice. It was very easy to connect with you on teaching. And
did you teach in Rhode Island?
Yeah, I did teach in Rhode Island. As I said, on and off, I was at the studio of Renee and Phillips for about 5 years up until the pandemic. Oh. Yeah.
So the very first class that you subbed was like my 75 minute hot power on Monday.
Yes.
So I threw her right into the fire.
I had a 75 minutes I was so nervous about. I haven't taught a 75 minute class in a really long time. Honestly, it's not really a thing in Rhode Island anymore. Like, they've just gotten rid of it. People just don't have the time. And I was so nervous. And then I could have kept going for like another hour. And I was like, sorry,
please,
guys.
We don't need to talk about that with Mary Beth.
I need to get to a Michaela. So you guys have to let me know when she's on the schedule. Yeah. Also, last night, I said to James as soon as he walked in, I said, did you see that I finished on time? And everybody was like,
you have that's actually good for you, that slot, because you have, James starts
at
15 minutes.
Right.
Yeah. So
pressure's on.
joke is when I start that class, it's like getting to be 6:15. There might be another person signed up who's not in. And I'm always like, you guys, we got to start. Cause if we don't start on time, we can't end on time.
So on Saturday morning, she teaches slow flow from 8 to 9 and I teach power at 9:30. And when we first made the schedule, we just put 15 minutes between classes. And for whatever reason, like I didn't do this on purpose. There was a half an hour. And so Mary Beth always goes over. It's a problem she's been working on for a while. Sometimes I text her when she has a sub and I'm like, oh, I have to be at the studio on time today because it's not going to be 9:09 when people come out. But I've asked
her. When James came in last night and he's like, oh my God, I walked in and I was like, are they in Shavasana?
But I've asked Mary Beth a million times. I'm like, we have the extra 15 minutes here. If you want to make it a 75-minute slow flow, we can do that. And she's like, no.
Then it'll be a 83-minute slow flow.
Yeah. She teaches slow flow on Monday night from 8 to 9. And I remember back in the day, you'd text me at like 9:45. And you're like, it was a really good class tonight. And
I changed the laundry. Yeah.
I'm like, are you still there? She's like, well, I had lotion and I gave everyone massages and then they wouldn't leave. And
Wednesday night in Brecksville, though, I teach the hot and then there's only 15 in between and we have to clean the floor there for sure.
Yeah.
It's sweaty. So that's a real quick turnaround, but we handle it. I can be a grown up girl every now and then.
I've already gotten really good feedback. People have been, you know, that I've taught since your class, or people will text or email and be like, I love Michaela. That was a great class. And, you know,
oh, that's so sweet.
So that's pretty impressive, especially since nobody really knows you, you know?
Yeah.
And nobody likes a new person or a sub. I mean, it doesn't mean they don't like, but they're like,
So the crazy thing is for me, I had kind of fallen out of practice like prior to coming here. I did not have a consistent yoga practice, probably for like the past 6 months. And I really was in a rut in teaching. Like it was way too much of a chore. I wasn't feeling connected. I had kind of like an imposter syndrome, like who am I to be teaching yoga? And when my husband and I were talking about moving, I've shared with Joyce, my career is in physical therapy. I've bartended for years. I teach yoga, you know, it's like all these things I can go to somewhere and do it. But for some reason, teaching yoga just wasn't something I was going to do. I was like, no, I'm not going to teach yoga. Like the thought of making myself vulnerable to people and moving somewhere and I don't know, trying to prove yourself, putting all these pressures on yourself. Right. It was like, no, I'm not doing that. So the fact that this happened so organically, I was just like, how do I not do that? You know, I landed in the studio where I have a Rhode Island connection, and not only a Rhode Island connection, but like really what sparked my passion for yoga to begin with, what is like the live, love, teach practice. Mm-hmm. So I was like, how do I not take this? Like, how do I not do this? So,
and it's so funny.
It's been great. It's so organic.
Thinking of it as this is not the thing I want to put myself out there with, when like physical therapist is a big job to put yourself out there. Even bartending, you have to be very social, and maybe that's a little, you know, less stressful for you mentally. But I'm so glad you said that, because the days that I feel like I might not want to teach a class, it's always about that. Like you feel, for whatever reason, like you're in no position to be of service to people that day.
Yeah.
And so it's hard, whatever's going on in your own head, or if you had a bad day or bad month or period of your life, it's hard to like, where do you draw from?
Yeah.
So that's awesome that it came and sort of tapped you on the shoulder instead.
Yeah. Yeah. From my first class, from taking Joyce's class, it sparked an interest in me. It made me want to teach.
So you got here and you looked up just, I want to go to a yoga class.
Yeah. So I had gone to a few yoga classes in the area. For the most part, I use traveling mind body just because it's a lot of people use it and it's on my phone. So that's how I find most of my classes traveling. And I had taken a class. This was my first time in an infrared studio using infrared heat. And I've told Joyce this, that it's unlike anything else I've experienced. I think it's the best of the best. So they really dialed that in. So I had taken a class at a studio that offered that. And I had taken a few classes there actually, and I just didn't love it. I don't know. I left there. I don't know. I don't know how to explain it, but I just didn't love it. You know, they didn't connect with me, but I did love the feeling of it. Mm-hmm. I did love that heat. I did love the way I was able to drop into my body. I liked what that created for me. So I had just looked up infrared studios in the area, and then Modern Yoga came up. So I was like, hey, give that a try. And the funny thing is, I have objected to taking power yoga classes for about the past like year or two. I don't know. There was just something about it that wasn't resonating in me anymore. Like I was going more towards the slow flows and stuff. Like I just liked the way that felt more. But yeah, I was like, I'll take the Saturday morning power yoga class. Why not? And it was Joyce's. So it was great.
I'm flattered.
Yeah, it was great.
I think, I hope this is going to come out sounding okay. I think that with the wave of power yoga popularity, depending on what you fell in love with about yoga, there's a lot of power yoga available that doesn't have that magic in it.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I think it's all in the art of teaching it and delivering it and knowing that as a teacher, it's not about you and being able to create the space for students just to do their thing. Like sometimes one of the battles I face is I feel like I'm supposed to be holding their hand and I have to keep reminding myself I'm not, you know, I'm not in charge of this experience. It's entirely their own. So finding that balance is really important, I think. And I think that's what delivers a really good power yoga class, is giving the physical challenge and holding the reins, but also knowing when to shut up.
Yeah.
That's the challenge for me, for sure.
Always remembering just what you said, that the class is about them. It's not mm-hmm. about you. You're kind of like the guide, the tour guide. And so when you show up on days that you don't feel like teaching or you're uncomfortable, it kind of lets, I don't know, it gives, for me at least, this allows me to give myself permission to be okay with that. Mm-hmm. Like it's okay for the students. Like I have to practice what I teach, right? It's okay to be exactly where you're at. And it's okay for me to be exactly where I'm at, because I'm here to teach, give this experience, not necessarily make this experience about what's going on in my life. And mm-hmm. I like to think about power yoga in a sense of like the most powerful thing about power yoga is making powerful decisions for yourself. And if that means that you have to make an adjustment or come out of a pose or go deeper in a pose, and that's an uncomfortable feeling for you, but you come to the right decision, or you make a decision, you try, you practice something, I think that's really powerful. And in the environment of a power class, the heat, the steam, the physical challenge just are tools to work with to help facilitate putting those scenarios in front of you. You know, like, am I okay in this super long crescent lunge?
Like Mary Alice Beck said the other day, it's all metaphor.
Yes.
So those challenges that we do on the mat, I mean, who cares that we're making shapes like Gumby? Yes. It's all mm-hmm. metaphors for these other challenges and how to get through them. And
but I do agree that with what was said before, the commercialization of power yoga has there, like it's a turnoff to mm-hmm. to people who practice this way.
And not to be judgy holier than thou, because we too have commercialized yoga, all three of us sitting here.
Of course.
So it's but it is and it's funny, the days you don't feel great, sometimes somebody will say something to you that they still really got something, and you're like, well, thank God, because
yeah,
I felt like I might have dialed it in today. But I was just thinking, when you were talking about the Mind Body app, when we left Mind Body Software, I worried about that. But see, like, it got found anyway, and it found mm-hmm. you found it. So
I just had to dig a little deeper.
Yeah.
Do a little extra work, you know?
Yeah. Like Gail Priebus, of yoga teacher and friend, I've heard her say that her grandma used to say to her, if it's meant for you, it will not pass you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So whether you got it the first time or the right way or whatever, it'll still get to you if it's supposed to, which is such a relief if you are able to think and believe that way. Like, I don't have to make everything work, because if it's for me, it's going to find me.
Mm-hmm. Does your husband practice yoga?
He doesn't. No.
You just looked around and said that like a secret. Like, no,
I did. I know. I was like, he doesn't.
What's your husband's name?
Zach.
Zach. And what's his last name? Are you allowed to say that? Or no?
Yeah. Case. Zach.
Oh, that's
Case.
Very Shout simple. Out. So yeah, you could be, we were talking about her lovely name before. You could be Michaela Carnevale Case.
He also
sounds like a famous person. Like, he sounds like a country music star. Zach.
Yes.
Case.
Yes. I'll love that.
And Michaela Carnevale.
Yeah.
Zach Case is shopping at Luther Farm this morning.
Shout out.
But he doesn't. He does. Go ahead.
No, he doesn't practice yoga. He doesn't. And I hope he does someday. I hope he like finds it, but it's not my job to hold his hand and bring him to it. And one thing about him is he's able to shut off. I'm not able to shut off. Like, yoga it's a coping thing for me. It's a coping skill for life, you know? And not to say that he wouldn't benefit from it, because I think that he would, and I think he would enjoy it, but he practices yoga in ways that he doesn't even realize it. Like, he has a practice that's amazing, and he didn't have to go through a lot of bullshit to get to it. So
right. not an
yogi
asana practice
in his own way. Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
So I keep seeing a tattoo over here. What is your tattoo?
It's a piece of pizza.
Oh, I love it.
Can you see it? So got drippy pepperoni. Cheese and pepperoni. Yeah. Yeah. So, I am Italian, if my last name didn't tell you that. And I have one of my brothers is, we both love to cook together, and pizza is one of our things. And, pizza is in our retirement plan. So we just reminded ourselves.
Does your brother have the same tattoo?
He has one too, but it's behind his ear.
Is that your only tattoo?
So we got them together. No, I have a Shaka sign right here.
Oh.
I don't know if you can see that. Yep, kind of. And then I have Yeehaw on my lip.
Do you really?
Yeah, I'll show you.
Wow.
I don't know, you can see it. Yeah.
I have known only one other person who had a tattoo on the inside of their lip like that, and I can't even remember who it was. Wow. So let's go down this path. Where
let's do it.
Are you? How old are you? And what in the hell does that feel like?
The tattoo on my lip.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that was, I was.
Now this is not on her lip. This is inside.
Sorry, it's inside
her lip.
Yeah. I got this in Nashville with my college roommates. So if
that sounds like the story.
Does that set it up? Yeah. So
were you sober?
No, I was not sober.
Did your college roommates also get it in the same spot?
Yes, we all got it in the same spot. Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yep. Yeah, it was a grand old time. I'm the only one that still says yeehaw. Mine still says yeehaw. Some of theirs says haw. Some of theirs says yee.
I was gonna ask, is it fading?
No, and I know you can't really see it on the computer. Mine's there, but apparently
Go ahead. The skin
the skin in your mouth like changes over very rapidly. Yeah, yeah.
So you got yeehaw? Is that what you were saying? Like, some of them just got yee and some of them just got haw?
No,
or they've
no,
been
it's
wearing
fading.
Out. Oh, it's
yeah,
fading.
They've been wearing out where it says some funny things.
So what's how is it the first time you go to the dentist or hygienist after this happens?
They're used to it. They see it
do
all
you
the
mention
time.
It or do you just wait for them to go, oh.
Yeah, I wait for them to say it.
So they just
yeehaw.
Go, yeehaw.
Which tattoo came first?
The yeehaw. Yep, the yeehaw came first.
Did you did you wait to show your parents?
I don't even know if my mom knows that I have this.
Well,
that's awesome.
That doesn't matter now. Yeah.
I mean, because international podcast.
Yeah, she knows now. Yeah.
And then which tattoo came next?
I got these two together.
And you didn't get any tattoos when you were staying at the place that had a tattoo?
No, and I wish I did. I
do you really?
Yes, with regrets, I did not. There was a
taqueria and Airbnb.
There was a gas station next door, and it was called the Space Station Gas Station. And I wish that I had that on my leg or something. But
Space Station Gas Station.
Yeah,
that's cool.
Mary Beth has no tattoos.
No, no tattoos.
No tattoos. Joyce just got a newish one, although it's a redo of your old one, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I listened to that episode.
Update.
So I'm familiar with that story.
Yeah. Today was the first time, and it's over 2 weeks old now. I noticed that there was a little bit of dry skin around it, and I was like, oh, 2 weeks later. Because it really, the healing was, it was like nothing. It was really
fantastic.
Yeah.
And I have to say that I'm going to just do a plug for Aquaphor. That stuff is amazing. I've been putting it on my cuticles. My nails have never looked better. Like the bottoms of my feet are pretty rough from being barefoot all the time. And I've been putting it on like the crack, and I have a really bad and both big toes, like just a big.
Here's the headline. Joyce puts Aquaphor on her crack.
And it's helping that. It's just, yeah, I'm going to have to stack up on the Aquaphor beyond tattoo healing.
I don't know if she'll listen. So since you're talking about foot crack, I'll tell you the story of my pedicure this week. I didn't have time for a pedicure, but my mom asked me if I had time for one. And so I thought I should do this, even though I don't have time. So 2 o'clock on Tuesday, we had an appointment for a pedicure. And I saw my mom at 12:30. She had just come home from yoga at Modern Yoga. I said, I'll see you 2 o'clock at the pedicure place. Yep. Don't be late. Yep. I get to the pedicure place at 2 o'clock because I had been running errands. No Dolores. 2:05, I text her and say, why are you always late now? Because she was never late her whole life. I can see as the minutes go by, she hasn't read this message, right? She has the thing where return receipt, you can see if somebody read the message. So now it's 2:14 and I'm getting worried.
Yeah.
I call her cell phone. There's no answer. I call her home phone. There's no answer. I call my husband. He's out at the post office. And I'm like, go and see if my mother's car's in the driveway or if she's dead in the house or what. And he sends me a picture as he's getting to the driveway. She's pulling out, right? And now it's like 2:15. So she's late. So I said to the girls at the pedicure place, I'm like, I'm not going to kill her because there's all these witnesses and I'm not even going to yell at her, but I'm like, there's smoke coming out of my ears. So sure enough, she had Cindy, our chair yoga specialist, had worked her and she had a little something to eat and sat down and dozed off. Oh, so perhaps one of my phone calls is what awakened her, even though she didn't answer. And then she got there very sheepishly. And halfway through the pedicure, she said, are you ever going to speak to me again?
Oh, so Michaela, Mary Beth lives in a side-by-side next to her mom. That's
side-by-side duplex home. It sounded a little like a side-by-side.
Well,
which would be fine too, a double wide.
I mean, I think that'd be even better.
Yeah, would it though?
So they handled your mom okay? Like they were?
Oh, they were fine.
They were fine.
She was just worried about you, honey. But by then, I was no longer worried. I was irate.
Well, I'm glad that your mom's back at chair yoga. She's been somewhat consistent recently. Mm-hmm. So
yeah,
that's really good.
She's been going to therapy for her frozen shoulder and she's got some weird wrist thing. And then she had her appendix out and some broken ribs. And now she's knock on wood,
ooh,
back to full fighting strength.
That's not a fun experience.
No, Michaela, it's not been fun for me at all.
What do you do on these long road trips to pass time? Are you like a podcast person, a book, audible books, or Do you and your husband just have that much to talk about?
We just have that much to talk about. A lot of music, podcasts, and then just kind of taking it all in, you know, once you get out there, once you're out West, it's just like, there's so much there's vast land and landscape that you're in awe, and you can see some really cool wildlife. So I like to pay attention.
Oh, wildlife is incredible. And weird stores and mom and pop restaurants.
Yeah, I always laugh. The coolest.
I see people traveling somewhere exciting, and then they're like at a Morton's or some chain. And I'm like, but you're out there, whatever exotic place you are. Like,
yeah,
try something weird. Sure.
Yeah. I was going to say that, I am what you call a passenger princess. I didn't do much of the driving, which is awesome, but I would start like scrolling on my phone or something in the middle of these long rides. And my husband would just swap my phone out of my hand. He's like, pay attention. Like, what are you doing?
Good for him.
Like, look where we are. This is America. Like, pay attention. So, and America. I'm happy he did that. Yeah.
My husband is the passenger. My husband is the passenger princess in our, although he's working, he's not princessing, but he's typically the passenger. I love the drive.
Yeah. Do you?
Mm-hmm. I'd rather drive. I say this all the time. I'd rather drive for 10 hours than fly for two.
Oh, completely. Completely. I agree.
Yeah.
I know it's not guys. A popular position, but
I guess that just makes me a princess.
Yeah.
I don't mind.
I should re-say that. I don't mind being a passenger for 10 hours in a car versus a passenger in a plane for 2 hours.
See, I'm just the opposite. If I'm a passenger in the car, I get very bored and very listless. I definitely have to be the driver, and then I love it.
I think it depends on the purpose of the trip. You know, like, I don't know. I figure skated in Detroit or did a lot of competitions, and I just got tired of driving the same drive, you know, 90 to 75. And I've never flown to Detroit. I never flew to Detroit other than for a work thing, which was crazy. Like, the plane went up and then it went down. But, I'd always joke, like, can somebody fly me to Detroit? But like, driving around when everything is new and you're taking it all in, I completely agree with you. Like, when we visited James's grandma in Payette, we went up to, we went into Oregon and we went up into the mountains. I can't remember the actual place, and it was like 4 or 5 hours away. That drive was awesome and interesting and, you know, all new to me. So I just think I think it has more to do with the purpose. I remember one of my cousins or second cousins got married in Texas, and my mom and dad and some of my uncles and their wives drove there, and that sounded really miserable because not that there was no stopping, but there wasn't any scenic like overnights or anything like that. It was just like
trying to get there,
trudging through. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What are some of your favorite podcasts, Michaela?
Oh, so the ones that I'm listening to right now, Almost 30 is really, really great. So, it's these two women kind of on like their own spiritual journey and just getting to know themselves and then the community that they created. They interview a lot of really great people. They started when they were almost 30, and I think they're in their mid 30s now. So that really resonates with me and where I'm at in my life. I have to say I'm a huge fan of Joe Rogan.
Are you?
I don't know if that's okay to say. Yeah.
Does James still listen to Joe Rogan? Yeah.
Yeah. No, we've talked about him before. Joe Rogan. I think he's, I enjoy him. I enjoy the people that he has on. I think he's a really great interviewer. The Huberman podcast. Sometimes I'm a nerd. I like to get all that kind of information. I really enjoy that. Yep. Those are kind of like my on repeat ones. You know, I have like my spiritual ones that I like. They do the Almost 30. They have another podcast called Microdose. So it's like 10 minute kind of clips of their longer episodes. So those are really nice ones just to, if I have like a 10 minute drive to the studio or something, or doing in the morning or something like that, it's a nice way to like set the tone of my day. I enjoy them. And then when I'm feeling like I want to nerd out, I really like the Huberman podcast.
Yeah. With his podcast, sometimes you need to, I don't know, I feel like I need to sit down and really pay attention.
Yes.
There's backgroundy kind of ones.
Yeah.
And then there's other ones.
Go ahead.
I'm really into fitness and nutrition and taking like your health in your own hands and just being the best you can with that. So there's a lot to learn from him.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. Yeah. He's really good. Any new ones for you, Mary Beth, or any not new ones that have inspired you? You always come to a podcast with a podcast review.
I know. I should have thought a little bit about it. I haven't listened in the last couple of weeks, but I did have some good ones again. I'll have to look back and say it for the next episode. Cause I remember being out walking when I was babysitting Maya, my sister's dog, and being like, oh, I need to remind Joyce about this one. This was a good one. There was good stuff in it. So I need to remember. But at the moment, my mind is blank.
Some of our regulars between Mary Beth and I are We Can Do Hard Things, the Glennon Doyle podcast. That one's always, always really good. That might be where it stops between us.
Yeah, between us. I've been, I had said several times now on podcasts, Wiser Than Me, which is Julia Louis-Dreyfus interviewing women who are wiser and older.
Mm-hmm.
I like My Favorite Murder. I'm a murderino.
Gosh,
I can't think of the name of the
one. I can't listen to that. I'll be like looking over my shoulder all the time.
They're so funny though. Like it's, yeah, that one's really funny. I can say that we listen to a lot of books, and I'm saying we, James and I, and right now I am listening to a really good book. But it's just been a lot better than I thought it would be. And it's a self-help book. It's called Self-Care for Adult Children of Emotionally Immature Parents.
Oh, yes. That resonates.
Oh, my goodness.
There's the same author wrote Adult Children of Emotionally Immature Parents. And I read or listened to that one a few years ago. And I needed another one like that. But I'm not the kind of person, I've tried it so many times where I'll go back and listen to a book and I'm just not there. Like I'm not a rereader. And so I Googled or not Googled, but I did a search for the author. And then this came up. I'm like, oh, it's probably going to be the same thing. And who knows if it is, because it's been a while since I've listened, but
yeah, it'll feel new.
It's really good. Yeah. It feels new. And I'm like, you know how when, especially as a yoga teacher, like when you hear these things that just make so much sense and you're like, got to write that down. This one, at least where I'm at in it, I'm like, oh yeah, that love the way she said this. And it's good. What are you scrolling through there, Mary Beth?
I was trying to find more there's a couple. And of course I must've not followed them very well because I don't see them in my library. Well, you know what? I probably listened on Pandora instead of on, I'm giving you more information than you need, blah, 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 but I'll find them. Michaela, what about favorite yoga poses?
Ooh, favorite yoga poses. I love dancer. I would say that's my favorite, like balancing pose. I don't know. What else do I love?
How come you love dancer?
I just love how it feels in my body and I love the buildup for it. You know, it's not, you don't just like step on a mat and do dancer. Like there's a journey to get there. And I think that's why I really like it. And in a power yoga class, it is kind of like always like the peak of the class, you know, and there's that come down. So maybe there's that happening internally that, like my body just kind of remembers.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
I love dancer too.
Yeah, dancer is a great pose. What else do I really like? I'm working on forearm stands, which I think is pincha. Is that?
Pincha,
I don't know
a
lot of the terms. Yeah. So I'm working on that, and I have it sometimes, and then other times my body's just like, nope, not today.
Mm-hmm. But dancer's but yeah, actually great for that too.
Yes, definitely.
I struggle sometimes in dancer to be able to impart, and it's everybody's poses their own, but what I love about dancer in my own body is the foot into hand, hand into foot push that yes. allows you that lift. And so many people seem to have not found how to explore that yet. So it's just sort of a bend and a hold and mm-hmm. that like looming open feeling. And I'm like, yeah. trying to lift. And then just, I don't know.
Yeah. There's so many
right thing to make it click.
Yeah. Yeah. There's so many moving parts in dancer. For sure. One thing that I've really been enjoying, which is weird, it's totally felt different in my body, is just chair pose. I don't know what it is, but like what I've been able to access in chair lately in my practice feels really, really good and more in my upper body. mm-hmm. I don't know if it's just like strength I'm creating in my upper back or what. But it's, I've been able to like really some access some juicy stuff in chair. Feels really good.
And there's so many things in chair. And again, I think mm-hmm. people, I think it goes unexplored. People mm-hmm. like sit in their chair and do their same thing. And I notice if I move my arms in chair right away, my low back has moved and I'm like, wait, yeah. I need to switch that. And I love that exploration. And it's not anybody's, well, not many favorite pose. So it's like, can we just be done with chair?
It's one of those things. That sorry to interrupt you, Joyce. Okay. That it's just a point in the class where people are like holding on and enduring, you know, it's just like, all right, like we're going to be here for, I don't know how many breaths, but she's going to hold us here. But there's so much more if you, you know, just dig a little bit deeper. Mm-hmm. There's so mm-hmm. much there. And I've been feeling that. So hopefully someone else will.
I was just going to say there is, that's so enlightening when you find something in a pose that normally is kind of boring mm-hmm. or thought to be, you know, and all of a sudden it's like, I can't wait to get to chair pose. What are some of your least favorite poses?
Mm, I hate half pigeon. I don't do half pigeon.
No. What do you do instead?
Same.
I love a figure four on my back. Yeah. That's like where I love to go. That's been a weird one for me to access lately too. So I've been putting a block underneath my head. And allowing myself a little bit more of a lift, and that's felt really, really good. I've been able to get into my hips a little bit more with that. So I love either a figure four on my back into like a double pigeon, but I'm not a half pigeon girl.
Yeah, I love double pigeon. I'll do that all day. And mm-hmm. I actually feel like it's more challenging and everything, which, you know, it's normally I would think, oh, I don't love half pigeon. I'll do something easier, but it's not easier. But it's just different. I just don't get much at this moment in my practice from half pigeon, but double pigeon, I just love, and it's so tough.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it so really tough. Is. I have that same sort of struggle in half pigeon. I don't feel like it's really productive sometimes. And
yeah.
Unless I'm like up on straight arms or I have my hands on blocks, so there's a lot of weight coming down into my hips, but I do enjoy figure four on my back because I really like how you can keep your back really flat and neutral mm-hmm. and the pose or the work is isolated more and it's not.
And I love how that opens the SI joint in the low yeah. back, like even taking your mind off the hip for a second. Like if I use a block and push my thigh, I'm like, oh, and that's where I have pain is in my low back. So it's just like, oh, that's mm-hmm. like opening that up right there. And it's a hard place to get to.
Yeah.
Definitely.
So it's good to have that. I, double pigeon.
Sorry. Big bark.
I didn't bark.
Scared me.
I have really long legs.
Any of that going on here?
I have really long legs. Joyce, you have little legs. Is double pigeon difficult for you? Because I do see some people are like, well, my legs aren't long enough to do that.
Hey.
What's it?
I don't know what he's barking at, but it's just going to be him barking and me telling him not to bark. So.
Yeah, that's all right. Let him bark.
Yeah, I can do double pigeon and it with my stubby little legs, Mary Beth.
Well, I didn't call them stubby. I just said they were shorter, but the point is there are things that work for some of us and not others because of our shape of our body. Like I have a short yeah. torso and long legs. So like the long triangle of grabbing your big toe is crunches my rib. So I never do that. I have a stubby torso.
That's my least favorite pose, is triangle. So I could talk about all the things I don't like about it, but mm-hmm. I do it.
But
and it's good for me.
Yeah.
But no, half pit or seated double pigeon is accessible, and my legs just don't have, I don't have, the fire log. My fire logs are a little shorter than yours.
Mm-hmm. I got those big logs.
Well, thank you so much for spending a couple of hours of your morning with us, and
yeah.
even more so, thanks for finding us. And I'm really happy that you're teaching for us and that you're practicing with us so much. And yeah, I'm going to try to figure out a way to get you guys to move to Cleveland permanently.
I know. Is she just going to be one more person that I'm going to lose?
We can
who knows?
We can Zoom with her and have updated podcasts like we do with Patty every once in a while.
Hey, it's been a long time since we've had Patty.
I know. We'll talk about that off air, Mary Beth.
All right.
But yeah, if you're listening to this podcast and you practice pretty regularly, you will probably recognize Michaela. I know she's on the sub list. I know you have a couple of classes scheduled coming up, but we have so many teachers going on vacation. Like, things are changing as far as like how many subs we need constantly, mm-hmm. Mary Beth. And yeah, so you will see Michaela's name on the schedule. Please come and take her class and get to know her. She's really interesting, obviously really awesome, and a great addition to our community. And hopefully you'll be a guest on the podcast again, maybe before you leave.
And yeah,
in the future, and when you decide to stay, we'll talk through that.
Sounds good.
Any final thoughts?
You.
Any final thoughts, Michaela, for our international podcast audience?
Any final thoughts? This is my first podcast, so yay! Thank you. Yeah, this
practice
cool.
your autograph.
Yeah, this was really
you'll
cool.
be famous.
No final thoughts. I don't. I would say, if there's something that's weighing on your mind, just do it. If there, you know, just, and it doesn't have to be a big thing that you have to do. Just take one step towards the goal every day.
Excellent
advice.
Don't
be scared. Don't be scared. Just take
one
step.
Or be scared. Be scared and go anyway.
Yeah. Or be scared and go anyway.
Joyce, any final thoughts from you?
No, I think I'm blank right now.
Yeah.
All right, we're done.